Phil and Debbie Dowse have the same last name as Kathy and I. So there's 8 Dowses here this morning. That doesn't happen too often in Marion, Ohio, let me tell you. So Phil and I are first cousins. His dad was a missionary in Ecuador, South America, a medical doctor for almost 55 years. And so Kathy and I have had the privilege of being down there with them as missionaries, and then we've been down twice with Phil and Debbie as missionaries. So we've been down to Ecuador 3 times together. And this is their 16 years they moved their family to go to be missionaries in Ecuador. That was amazing. 4 kids said, "Oh, God calls us to go be missionaries. Come on, kids, we're going." Oldest was 15. Youngest was, Tully was 8. So a 15-year-old down to 8-year-old and said, "Guess what? You're gonna go learn Spanish. You know, we're gonna go to Ecuador." So they've been with international teams who just changed their name to One Collective. They're part of called Youth World, and they have a couple ministries, Casa Gabriel, which is boys, street boys, and Casa Adelia, which is girls that have been rescued from the sex trade business. And it's just amazing ministry. The only thing I want to say is they're real people and they do real good stuff in Ecuador. So let's give them a standing, welcome them. Thanks. You want 200 to do that one.
Hello, hello. There we go. Good morning. Buenos días. Me gusta tu español. Mis queridos amigos, hermanos y hermanas mexicanos. ¿Dónde está la bulla? Oh my goodness, that was fun. We've been out of Ecuador for about a month now, and we haven't been speaking much Spanish since we left. So it was so fun yesterday at the little open house we had to just hang out and speak Spanish. Yeah. And he's like, "Well, I can speak English." I'm like, "Please don't. Let's speak in Spanish." And after being in Ecuador 16 years, it has become a heart language. Now, Alan made it sound, you know, okay, my mom and dad were missionaries, and now I'm going to be a missionary. You have no clue. That was not on my bucket list. I had been there, done that, right? I'm one of those missionary kids that saw a lot of crashes and burns, saw a lot of negative impact. I did see positive impact, but I had no romantic ideas of going some other country to be a missionary. I was the last one to jump on the boat, and God really had to change my heart, and He did that. And so after 25 years leaving Ecuador, God opens the door and nudges me and says, "It's time." I finally felt comfortable being an American. 25 years. I wasn't so judgmental. I had a job. We had a home. We had a career. We were involved in our church. And God says, "Okay. Now I want to do some more work in you. Now it's time." Because I feel that He could have chosen anybody. God doesn't need me. He allows me to be used. And in the process, He's sanctifying me. He's burning those things off that need to be burned off. We've had some real challenges. I don't know if I can say that I would want to do them again, but I can say that those challenges have changed me. I am a different person, and I am more like Christ than I used to be. So, this is my beautiful wife. Debbie. So I want to set the scene here. You don't have to stand up this whole time. Do you want to say something right away? You can laugh. It's okay. I'm used to it. It really is a joy to serve alongside my wife. She is my confidant, my friend, my critic, and a very trusted person in ministry that will tell me straight up. And we all need that. I appreciate it today when the person giving the announcements was referring to the Israelites. See, many times I have wondered. Excuse me. Why the Old Testament is relevant today? How can that be? And I didn't, many times I haven't understood how in the world the Israelites, after seeing the hand of God, feeling, tasting, smelling the Holy Spirit and His power, they would choose to go back to bondage. And yet I found myself doing that very same thing. I have seen God's hand in my life. I've witnessed His miracles. And sometimes I choose to go back to bondage. The Old Testament is so full of metaphors and symbolism for our lives today because it all points to Jesus Christ. He is the new covenant. He is how we can go back to the promised land. He is how we can start that journey of hope, of redemption, of life. And today we want to share a little bit about those stories of hope and redemption. We are tremendously honored to be a part of these stories with the youth that we work with. So I'm going to set the context. I'm going to set the scene a little bit. So we know the story of the Israelites when they were in bondage in Egypt. And God provided a way for them to leave the land full of treasures, full of blessing, because He had something for them. He had a promise. And that promise was given to Abraham in faith. Abraham believed God and he acted in faith. And isn't that what we do with Jesus Christ? We accept Jesus Christ by faith and our journey starts. Now the metaphor for that journey can be our journey to our final destination, heaven, our final promised land. That can be a metaphor for the Israelites and their challenges. Or it can also be a metaphor for starting a journey of hope, starting a new beginning, or leaving something that we're familiar with to something we're not so familiar with. So the Israelites were taken out. The sea was parted. I mean, just tremendous acts of miracles and hand of God. And wasn't long where they were fearful. And they preferred to go to something that they knew, even if it was bondage, to walking in faith to something that was incredibly adventuresome and good. Well, on down the road, you know, we know that story that they wandered for 40 years. God provided for them in His grace and mercy. But let's fast forward. So they've had kings. They wanted a king. God gave them a king, and there were other kings that came. And in history of the Israelites, there were times when God would send these prophets and warn them. Jeremiah was one of those prophets, and he would tell them straight up, you're trusting in something that is not of God. He warned us about this. Don't follow the idols of the land. Don't practice the same things of people that don't know God and don't believe God and haven't had their name written in the book of life. They're not His. Don't follow them. And many times the Israelites are like, nothing's going to happen. We're friends with the with the Egyptians. We, you know, if Sennacherib comes against us, they'll help us out. So where was their faith? Their faith was in something other than the living God. And God sent many prophets to warn them in His grace. And in our lives, He is still gracious. He sends us many reminders of His grace, but His message has not changed. There is a promised land, and it's better than you can imagine. I will walk with you. I will help you. But my statutes have not changed. I am your creator. I'm your father. And I know what's best for you. Well, they didn't listen to him again. And I want to go to a prophet that came after Jeremiah. And he was in the lineage of the people who took care of the altar. His name is Ezra. And it was determined that the king, who was not even an Israelite, made a decree that the people of God, the Israelites, would go back to their land and they would rebuild the temple of the living God. See, God will use anybody by faith. So I want us to turn to Ezra 7:10. So this is where in Ezra, he is returning to Israel with the people who have been scattered, and there's a remnant, and they're going back to rebuild the temple. And symbolically, the temple is the presence of God. Our promised land is being in the presence of God. And I love your vision statement. Our vision statement for this church reads, showing Jesus to my world. And the mission statement is, come, grow, and go with us. That is what this church believes. Then you have some core values. This is what Ezra is doing. And as a leader, as spiritual leader, he has found a really good strategy. I love this. And it just jumps out at me every time I read it. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. First thing, he prepared in his heart to seek the law of the Lord. His commands, his word. We call that today the Bible. And to do it. My goodness. As a missionary, sometimes that's a step that I don't take. I'll read the word, and I'll jump to the third one. And the third one is teach. Because that's what we do a lot of in these ministries with these young people. See, we have said, come with us to the promised land. Come out of bondage. There's something bigger. There's something better. And these kids look for it. They want it. They long for it. And we're like, there is a promised land. And there's a way to get there. Come with us. And so we teach. So we have protocols. We have a manual. Those are strategies. But that's not what saves. So Ezra says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. That was his strategy. So today, we're going to share a little bit about the strategies, but please do not confuse that the strategies are more important than our end. Our end is to know God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our promised land. The ministry isn't the promised land. Sure, we want to share some strategies. We want to share some stories. And today we do want to share stories. Why? Because you are part of their story. You are part of what's happening. This church supports what's happening in Quito, Ecuador with these kids. Debbie, how about you sharing a little bit about the girls' house?
It is really a joy to be with you this morning. Thank you. I'm feeling a little bit about, like, you know, the Bible talks about we are vessels of clay. We're fragile, and I'm feeling my fragility this morning. And how that clay vessel is ordinary. And what makes me not ordinary is inside this clay vessel that is so ordinary, I have something extraordinary. I have the message of hope. And that's what I carry with me. Whether it's on the streets or whether it's in Casadaya, I have a message of hope. You know, when Phil talks about going to the promised land, I'm on the journey. So are you, and so are these girls. So just a little bit of an update. I've talked about Casadaya before. It's important to remember that, actually, Casadaya is one of our ministries. The name of the mission is End Slavery Ministries Ecuador. Casadaya is an aftercare home for young women ages 18 to 22. They come with babies in their arms. They come because they have no hope. When they come, they have no resources. They don't have education. They're very, very poor. They're desperate. But something in them has been stirred by the living God that says, I want something different. And what we say is, you are valued. You are loved. God has purpose for you. And we start the journey of healing with them. We also have Esperanza Art, which is a jewelry workshop. It provides vocational skills for the girls. It provides mentoring. It provides a way that they, it's actually therapy as well for them, but a way that they can make an income and start building dignity in their lives, and they can start making decisions, and they have a choice of where they want to spend their money and how they want to spend it. Another ministry that we do is the non-residential. That program is really growing. These are for girls that have been in Casadaya and no longer are there. And we continue to walk with them on that journey because it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. Healing is hard work, and it's believing every day. You have two words up here, faith and hope. Well, Paul says in Romans that, and where does our victory, how do we overcome the world? It's through faith. And he also talks about, and hope. You know, we go through all these things, and then it says, and it produces hope, and hope will not disappoint. So those are two really, really important words for the ministry, our faith and hope. And then the other ministry we do is street outreach. This is something that we have a team that goes every 2 weeks. They go out on the street, and they are there sometimes just to give a hug, to pray for the women who are working on the street. It is difficult to describe what that is like. I'll just tell you one little story about the street outreach. We do Christmas parties. This is the second year we've done them. And so the word is out. They get really excited and we do a Christmas party. One of them, we had probably 150 women that came in. It was a brothel, actually, and we did it inside. And we do a party, but it's still with that same message of hope. You are seen. You are valued. You have purpose. And God has something else for you. But it's a process, right? You might think they chose to be there. These girls have been in slavery since they were very little, started with abuse, ended up they didn't have education, they weren't able to make choices. Casadaya is breaking that cycle. Casa Dalia is the place where the Casa Gabriel boys, when they were little, if their mamas had had a Casa Dalia, they wouldn't have ended up on the streets. Their moms would have been different for them. Their moms would have been able to teach them and provide hope for them. So at Christmas, when we do these parties, it is one of those powerfully difficult things to do. But the second party that we do, Phil is there as my Santa Claus. And actually, he was my bouncer, because part of the outreach that we did is we purchased meals, lunches for the women that were working in the brothels on the street. It's hard to imagine, but this is just one street in a very large city, and prostitution is legal at 18, and so it is everywhere, literally. And so these were women that were working, and we just wanted to provide them with a meal and give them that message. I remember one of the women said, "I heard you had a gift today. I didn't come for the gift. I came because I knew you would also be giving hugs. And I just needed a real hug." Really, really amazing, right? So God gives us a privilege in the journey that we're doing to be able to be a part of the story that God is writing. You are a part of the story. There is a really big story that God is writing, and we get to be a part of it. But what is so amazing is that God breaks into a story and changes the ending. So these young women that I have the privilege of knowing and loving on, young women who started on this journey, what they have only seen is abandonment, abuse, rejection, destruction, and they're heading toward destruction. God breaks into their story and changes the ending. And it doesn't always happen really, whoo, all of a sudden everything's going well. But the direction has changed, and he's given people to do the journey with them. Really, really important. We can do the best we can on programming and providing all the strategy that Phil talked about, but that does not change us. The only hope of change is transformation through Jesus Christ, and it's coming to know him. And he does that through relationship. It's people that are genuine. They're authentic. I can say to them, "I genuinely love you." It's one of these gifts that God has just given me. But if they don't believe it's genuine, they can't begin to trust. If they can't trust, they can't begin to open up. They can't begin to release those things of bondage. We are privileged to hear chains falling off. Yeah, really, really, really exciting. So I have a slideshow that Grace back there is going to put on for me. This is, Casa Dalia is a safe house, and so we don't put pictures up on social media. So this slideshow is on my flash drive, and that's just where it stays. But you get to see faces today. So this is faces of 2017. You'll see people that are part of the team. You'll see girls that have been a part of the ministries. And you're going to see a lot of smiles. What you aren't going to see is the tears. Behind those smiles, there's sometimes tears. But that's also part of the healing. It's part of the healing that happens. So just enjoy getting to... And you're going to see some of the kids. So today at Casa Dalia, we have five young women, ages 18 to 21, and five little ones, ages 3 and under. It is a very full, busy house. So enjoy this.
Life is hard and the living's rough, but these are the times when you gotta stand up. Don't let them break you down or tear you up. These are the times when you gotta stand up.
I'll be waiting here for you. The sun runs out, the stars fall out. I'll be waiting.
push through. Can't let them break you down, open the truth. These are the times when you gotta push through.
Let your heart get too little or get lost in the rail. Never let them see you break in the middle. Let your heart get too little or get lost in the real. I'll be waiting here for you.
So that's a snapshot of Casa Dalia. And I'm going to show you a quick video. And this video has a message. And the message is for you. It's a thank you. It's a thank you for your investment. The challenge that I want to leave you with today is there are two ways of seeing life. Well, there's probably more than two ways. I'll challenge you with two ways on talents. And talents sometimes are referred to solely as financial. I would say that they're much bigger than that. Talents are what you have, who you are, what God has entrusted in your life for today, for now, for the journey that you're on. He's given you some talents and gifts. It may be singing, it may be piano, it may be baking cookies. It may be friendly. And maybe you love numbers and you're an accountant. You have been entrusted with talents. My challenge for you today is, how are you using those talents? Are you spending them? Using them for yourself? Spending them today? Or are you investing them? See, investing has an eternal perspective. If you're friendly, how are you investing that talent? Are you a greeter at the church? There's no limit to the talents that God gives us. And there's no limit to how you can use those talents. So we've shared a little bit how God is using us in spite of us with the talents that He's given us. My challenge to all of us is, I think we all have such a much greater capacity than we're led to believe, that God wants to use our talents and He'll multiply them if we step out in trust. So we're going to end with this video about Casa Gabriel. The message I want you to hear from this video is, thank you. Thank you for investing in the lives of these kids in the way that this church does, and in the other areas of life that you invest. Thank you for living life with that perspective of investing in people as opposed to spending. So if we could just watch this little video here about Casa Gabriel. Casa Gabriel is a unique training ministry to former street boys in Quito, Ecuador. Our mission is to see youth at risk become successful Christian leaders in their home, church, community, and world. That is accomplished through a holistic training program which enables them to achieve their God-given potential as leaders and disciples of Jesus Christ. We've embraced three core values at Casa Gabriel, and we believe those three core values really symbolize the values that Christ showed when he was here. Those core values that we embrace are love, respect, and service.
He aprendido muchos valores en casa allí, como poder compartir con los demás y también poder saber cómo se sienten las demás personas. Es como que no vas a estar solo y Dios va a estar ahí contigo. Y también he aprendido en no dejarme caer, porque hay muchos obstáculos en mi vida que fueron muy duros y me afectaron demasiado, pero Casa G ha impactado mi vida y me siento agradecido.
We've defined what a leader is to us. A real leader is if they are a person of integrity, if they are a person of justice, if they know how to love somebody, if they know how to respect and how to serve, that is leadership.
So after I graduated from Casa G, I started an internship where I am the house leader. And as the house leader, I am able to put into practice what I've learned and be that example and mentor to the guys. Change is hard for them. It's a process, and we learn and grow together. And it's incredible to see the growth in this young man over the time I've been here.
Les voy a hablar sobre los tres valores que son súper importantes aquí en Casa Gabriel, que son el amor, el servicio y el respeto. Uno de los más importantes para mí, que los he puesto mucho en práctica últimamente, es el servicio, porque es, para mí eso demuestra mucho el amor que tienes por hacer las cosas.
We believe it's through relationship that there is the greatest impact. Programming is important, but that's not what changes lives. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ. And then it's relationship with those around you. It's long and deep. It's walking with somebody in the good times and the bad times. It's celebrating with somebody and crying with somebody. It's life. It's long and deep. No action, however great or small, goes unnoticed in the kingdom of God if done with an authentic heart. We believe that drops of living water are being deposited in the lives of these boys on a daily basis. Sometimes you don't see the impact right away, but over a time period of long and deep, it adds up. And we believe that one day these boys will have their cup full of that living water, and they'll be able to share it with other people and really have an impact to make a difference to those around them. Thank you for your deposit, the contribution you have made to make a difference in the life of these boys. And thank you for allowing us to share with you today. Precious, precious time of worship, being able to worship together really ministers to our soul. And doing that in a family setting that you have here is a wonderful thing.